You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, September 20th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Tim Mafayengettis.
Bless, I'm happy to be here with you on a Monday. It's going to be good. Lil Nas X Day, right? Like, that's what we're going to call today from henceforth.
Is that what today is? Lil Nas X Day?
I'm going to call it that. It just feels right. You know,
I mean, the album came out on Friday, but like, we can,
I know, but
for me, every day is Lil Nas X Day.
And that's the thing, is I feel like it came out on Friday, but it's really hitting on this Monday. You know what I mean? Montero Monday. That's what I'm going
to
call it.
Sit with it during the weekend, listen to it. Tim, this weekend was a weekend of dreams for me, because I put out a tweet on Friday about all the different things that I have lined up, right? There was Deltarune Chapter 2 came out, Montero the album came out, I had to get a haircut late last week. There was Sex Education on Netflix, which I binged all in one go. I rarely do that, where I sit down from episode one and watch all 8 episodes in one go. But I did that on Saturday alongside playing a game at the same time, and it was bliss. It was one of the best Saturdays I've had in a while, because I just got to sit down and do my thing, and I absolutely loved it. By the way, is that a new jacket?
It's not new, but it's rarely worn. It gets a little hot. You know, normally for keen-eyed viewers out there, I rarely go an entire episode wearing the jacket, because it gets a little spicy over here. You know what I'm talking about? I have a feeling this one's not going to make it past story two. Just saying. Oh,
we will see. Now, Tim, before I actually get into any of the new stories,
I already fucking know where this is going. Report, yeah.
This morning I saw something upsetting, Tim.
I'm sorry.
It was a poll put out there by Greg Miller, and you're part of the problem, Tim. I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. You're part of the problem.
I get it.
Host of PS Love You XOXO and man who's about to have a child named Greg Miller put out a tweet saying, or asking people, which is better between the McGriddle and the McMuffin. And I was disheartened to see that poll is neck and neck. And people aren't just like voting for the very obvious answer, which is the McGriddle. The McGriddle is leaps and bounds better than the McMuffin.
You're crazy. You're crazy.
You too, Kevin?
Yeah, 100%. Come on, no! Get out of here. Get out of here.
No.
It's too sweet.
What is the argument for the McMuffin?
The argument for the McMuffin, from where I stand, is it is just such a good basic.
Like, just to clarify, we're talking about the sausage McMuffin?
I'm talking about period.
Doesn't even matter.
You compare the comparable sausage McMuffin versus sausage McGriddle, bacon, egg, and cheese McMuffin versus bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddle. Pound for pound, like fight for fight, it's the McGriddle every single time. Isn't that right, Barrett?
So I weighed in. I was like, how is it neck and neck? I was very surprised to see it like 50-50, literally, on the dot when I checked in and voted in that poll.
Can you
and
find Greg, this poll? Bring it up, by the way.
Yeah, I'm on it.
And Greg tweeted back at me. He was like, which side are you on? And I responded to him, the right side. And that's all I said. And like, all I got to say is like, if you're going to pick a McMuffin, just admit that you just like dry ass food. Just admit it.
That's what I'm saying.
You're going to choose an English McMuffin as your fucking
man of the people
bread?
Right here.
Gross, dude.
Barrett, man of the people, huh?
Yeah.
That's your man's. Come get your man's, boys. Come get your man's. Here's
now,
the situation,
though. Is this 50-50? I can't see.
McMuffins
for us is blurry.
Are for people who are admitting that they're old as fuck, because only old people
eat
English. You're thinking of the fish one, dude. The McMuffin is amazing. The sauce.
The fish
That's a different conversation. The fish filet with a coffee for very old people, because it's always with the coffee for some fucking reason.
That's how Tim always has it.
None of that is true.
So we're looking at the poll right now. McGriddle is winning with 50.7%. Egg McMuffin is sitting at 49.3%. Oh, has won, because those are the final results.
Yeah.
With over 8,000 votes voted in, which is, you know, that's heartening, right? Like, I was disheartened to see it be so close, but at the very least, McGriddle is win or has won, which is a good thing. I just can't do with the flavorlessness of the McMuffin.
See, here's the thing. There's a bunch of slander.
And the bad texture of it.
No, there's just slander being thrown out. And I haven't been able to speak on this fully yet. So please, Bless, if you will, give me this platform. Give me this holy space of Kind of Funny Games Daily to talk about the realities here. The reality is neither of these are bad things. It's a personal preference. I think this poll is fantastic. Hitting that 50-50 level, I get it. Because at the end of the day, the McGriddle is divisive. The McGriddle, to me, the problem is you can talk about how dry the Egg McMuffin is. It is dry on where it's supposed to be dry, and it's wet where it's supposed to be wet. Unlike the McGriddle that is just inconsistent, and while it's itself, the dryness doesn't matter as much. It makes your insides dry. You're biting on this thing. You're chomping on this thing. And every single bite, your insides are turning into SpongeBob and all of those memes where it's just so dry. Why is there never enough syrup in all the right places? It always just kind of feels like you're eating dry syrup. It's
What?
But I understand there's a personal taste for that. There's people that enjoy that type of torture inside their bodies. I am not one of those people. I will take the McMuffin over the McGriddle any day of the week. In fact, if a McGriddle was my only option, I might not even eat it. But that's because I'm not built of sterner stuff. I know that my insides can't handle that type of dryness. I need to be wet from here to the other hole.
Wet all the way. I'd like to add the sausage McMuffin was for a long time on the dollar menu. Dollar menu doesn't exist anymore. It's a tragedy. I'm very sad about it. But, like, the McGriddle was never on there. That's a fancy man's burger. No, thank you.
Well, the sausage McGriddle was on there. I could have sworn the sausage McGriddle was on there.
I don't believe
so. I ordered it from there. I need a kindoffunny.com/you're wrong about the sausage McGriddle. Was that never on the dollar menu? Because I could have sworn that was on the dollar menu.
No, McGriddle was always McDonald's trying to fucking upsell all these stupid people out there. Just like, yo, you can get the McMuffin for a dollar, which is more than enough. But, y'all, if y'all got $2.29 to spare... Well, have I got the dry thing for you?
29.
It's a sandwich.
I don't understand why you think it's dry, you fucking weird. You're a fucking freak, Tim, because it just
dries out your inside. This is my problem with just pancakes in general. It's okay. That fluffy type. No, hey.
Y'all were saying to your man earlier, Tim is now going to war against pancakes, dude.
You're saying pancakes dry out your insides.
I'm not going to war against pancakes. Y'all need to listen to what I'm saying. I am. I'm in defense of these things. I'm just saying that with them comes facts. Neither are perfect creations. They have
The McGriddle is the perfect.
The McGriddle is the best thing
to come out of America. It's literally a pancake sandwich where the pancakes are infused with syrup.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
like,
but it's
somebody made that and they were like, cool, I am done.
It's the same thing
after that.
This is the same thing.
They rest on their seventh day.
Andy and I talk about all the time about the hot Cheeto. Once you take the hot Cheeto dust off the hot Cheeto, it no longer has the same properties. It's the same thing here. Once you take the syrup and turn it into a solid, it is no longer what we're looking for when we're looking for syrup to put on things. I rest my case. I want to talk about some video game news because here's the deal. I'm getting hot. I want to make it through at least one story.
Tim, I'm also fired up, so let's talk about today's stories, which might also get you fired up, because today's stories include a possible Quantic Dream Star Wars game, Balenciaga coming to Fortnite, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or bronze members or above, get to write in, and silver members or above, get the show ad-free along with the exclusive daily post-show. Housekeeping for you, P.S. I Love You, XOXO is recording today in a couple of hours, and it isn't live for Patreon supporters, but if you have any questions about any notable PlayStation releases coming out this week, maybe write into the show with your questions before noon today. Then tomorrow, we have a Kena Bridge of Spirits stream. Tim, what's all that about?
We are officially now Epic partners, which means we have Epic creator code, Kind of Funny, no spaces. You should probably be familiar with that. It's our promo code for many things in life. Oh, look at that. Kevin had the fancy little thing ready. It's bouncing around. Roger made that. It's pretty cool. Anyways, you now, whenever you're buying stuff on the Epic Game Store, if you just put the code Kind of Funny in the supporter creator code little field thing, hey, look, Kevin's right up again. The technology is there. Anyways, it'll really help us out. You know, there's no extra cost to you, and money just goes to us. It's great. It's awesome. awesome, including Kena: Bridge of Spirits, which comes out tomorrow. And to celebrate the launch of that game, Andy Cortez is going to be doing the stream right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, hanging out with y'all. And the biggest thing, the coolest thing, we're going to be giving away a bunch of codes for the game. So hang out, be in the chat. You'll be able to get some Kena action.
Hell yeah, and that's not it for special streams this week, because Thursday, we're playing World War Z Aftermath for a sponsored stream. You can swing by at 11 a.m. Pacific time, right after Kinda Funny Games Daily, to see Greg, Mike, Andy, and myself blast some zombies. If you miss it live, it'll be on our newest YouTube channel, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, right after. And then also a reminder that it is September on Twitch. Viewers from across the platform throughout the month can take advantage of 20% off subscriptions for first-time subscribers and for gifted subs. Your support means the world to us here at Kinda Funny, and right now you can take advantage of this deal and receive benefits like ad-free viewing, sub emotes, and more. Thank you to our Patreon producers, the Kinda Funny Destiny 2 PC clan, Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DraftKings, Away, and Amazon Music, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today. Starting with our number one, a big one. Could Quantic Dream be making a Star Wars game? I am pulling from Jared Moore at IGN. Quantic Dream, the developer behind Heavy Rain and Detroit Become Human, is rumored to be making a Star Wars game. The rumor has surfaced courtesy of French YouTuber Gataz, who reports that the studio has signed on with Disney. This follows the company's shift to multi-platform after a long history of working exclusively with Sony. As always, all rumors should not be taken at face value, but DualShockers reports that it has its own sources that confirm that Quantic Dream is working on a Star Wars game. The site reports that its source, quote, provided overwhelming evidence, end quote, of having connections within Quantic Dream, and that the Star Wars game has been the studio's project for around 18 months. The report notes that it is unclear what exactly that 18-month timeframe entails, but rumors within the French developer community suggest that the game may have only begun full development in the past few months. While there has been no official word surrounding an upcoming Star Wars game from Quantic Dream, DualShockers reporter Tom Henderson captured a screenshot from Twitter that showed the company had liked a tweet discussing the rumors. This far from confirms that Quantic Dream is making a Star Wars game, of course, but the studio has since removed its like from the tweet. Tim Ma fucking Gettys. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this news?
I would say that I don't necessarily believe it. Like, this seems a little too out there, because Quantic Dream doesn't seem like they'd be the type to work with established IPs, especially not IPs like Star Wars. They seem a little bit more, I don't want to say art house, but dedicated to their own ideas, at least. Mm-hmm. But just looking at the chat, I saw Jeff Grubb just say they are. So I believe Jeff Grubb. So that completely, with those two words, changes my mind on this. And I'm like, all right, cool. Now let's think about what this could be. Regardless of whether I thought it was going to happen or not, I am excited by this idea for a couple reasons. One, I really like Detroit Become Human. I thought it had a lot of interesting ideas. I like these kind of choice-based games, like narrative-based games. I think that they broaden the scope of what video games can be in a ton of ways. And like that, this interactive movie concept that we've seen a whole bunch over, I mean, since the inception of video games to some extent. Well, maybe not the inception, but definitely the last couple generations. I really enjoy that we have things like Netflix trying to do its video game stuff to make movies interactive, like on an actual movie level. We've seen things like Erica and other examples that. But I think it always works better when it starts from the game side. And it's like the game side has a good story to tell, and like they kind of treat the game like a movie as opposed to treating a movie like a game, if that makes sense. The Quantic Dream games haven't always spoke to me. I don't think that they always stick the landing, and I think that there's always problematic issues here and there and all that type of stuff. But I actually think that having the restraint in some ways of a galaxy far, far away around them, the idea of this IP, there's known rules, there's known entities and quantities to it all, could actually result in a really, really interesting story from Quantic that I would like to see. And on top of that is something I would love to see from Star Wars at this time. You know, it reminds me a lot of when Knights of the Old Republic came out originally 20 years ago, and it really felt like it was this, to an extent, choose your own adventure Star Wars game. And I like that here, because Quantic Dreams has the production value, they have the talent, they have the skills to be able to make stories shine and player choice shine. Add that in the Star Wars wrapper, that could be really cool.
Yeah, like I'm with it too. Like I think this is an interesting direction for what a Star Wars game could be, because the Quantic Dream games, historically, I actually do enjoy them quite a bit. They have their faults here and there, but specifically Heavy Rain, and more specifically Detroit Become Human, I actually did like Detroit Become Human quite a bit. And I think taking that production value and applying it to Star Wars could lead to something that's interesting at the very least. Because when I think of a Star Wars game, I do think of Jedi Fallen Order, or I think of Battlefront, or I think of something that is more action-y than not. I really do like the idea of what if we took Star Wars and made it a choose-your-own-adventure, in the way that Telltale made a lot of licensed choose-your-own-adventure games, right? Between Walking Dead and Guardians and Game of Thrones and all these things, right? Tales from the Borderlands. Some of those were hits. Some of those weren't as much hits. But I think that did lead to certain IPs being used and explored in very interesting ways. Like the one I always go back to would be Tales from the Borderlands, right? Tales from the Borderlands got me invested in the Borderlands world more so than any actual Borderlands game itself. I really, really enjoyed Tales from the Borderlands. And for me, that was a gateway into getting more into that franchise, right? Even Walking Dead, you know, I liked Walking Dead from the TV show. Jumping into the Walking Dead video game and having it be this, hey, you're playing as Lee. Hey, you're going through this adventure. You are, you know, choosing, you're making certain choices that is leading to people either living or dying or big things happening in the world. To me, that's always a fascinating concept and IP that already exists. I like the idea of being able to play as my own Jedi or play as my own, like, whoever, right? Like a stormtrooper that's turned good, right? In the case of Finn. I like the idea of being able to take my own main character and actually carve out my own space in the universe. I think where that gets tricky is how precious is Star Wars with their IP, and do they want a developer like Quantic Dream to be able to determine, like, hey, we have characters that now have, like, it's the Doctor Strange looking to a bunch of different dimensions thing, or a bunch of different timelines thing of, like, oh yeah, like Rey Skywalker has a specific story because they told that story through three movies. But this other character, Rey Quantic Dream, is just like, it's out there causing a ruckus and has so many different choices, and we can't actually apply this character into like specific stories because that is there's a butterfly effect there.
Yeah, I'm just gonna bite my tongue and not even make any of the easy jokes about the consistency or lack thereof of character in the modern Star Wars movies. But regardless of that, what I think is interesting here, you bringing up the Telltale thing. I think that the industry kind of got overloaded with Telltale using the same engine for so long, and the problems that came with that and all that. And I think that what excites me about the Quantic side of stuff is that AAA mindset, right? Like, that's what I think could really serve Star Wars, where the expectations would be a little bit higher than what was 5 years ago. The expectation that if there was a license out there, Telltale was going to make a game about it. You know what I mean? Like, there was, if they had the ability, they were going to do it. And I think that here, it seems a bit more, if this is real, of a purposeful choice that we've been seeing a lot of recently with the Marvel IP and now the Star Wars IP, that after being tied up with EA for so long, it's now them kind of fishing them out, selling them out to the different studios that they want to work with obvious visions of purpose of a game that they're trying to create with this specific group. And you see that with them working with Ubisoft on a Division style game and that type of stuff. I think that's cool. And I think that's interesting. And this is probably the most excited I can be about a Quantum Dream game. And that's cheating in a lot of ways. And I don't think that that's going to, I don't think what I just said is going to be a popular opinion among many people, but for me, hey, sign me up.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think for me, Quantic Dream coming out announcing a random ass next game probably wouldn't get me as excited, because I feel like Quantic Dream over the course of the last decade have kind of shown us what they can do and kind of what their thing is. And I think a lot of people are either in for it or a lot of people are very over it. And I think a Star Wars game is the most excited I can be for a Quantic Dream game. It is also the most nervous I can be for a Star Wars game. You know, like, that isn't my go-to in terms of what I want from Star Wars. I like the idea of it being choose your own adventure. The Detroit Become Human butterfly effect, I don't think gets enough credit for how actually cool and exciting that thing was. Like, for me, it did really rival, in a lot of ways exceeded, Until Dawn's butterfly effect, which I think was the one that really, like, overshadowed a lot of what Quantic Dream had done before that. And so if you can take that butterfly effect and apply it to Star Wars and take the production value and, like, the graphic direction, because I do like how those games look as well. If you can take all of that, the cinematic presentation, and apply it to Star Wars, I think there's something special you can do there. And I think Star Wars would be the thing that would reel them in terms of their insane batshit stories sometime. Like, I like... Totally. I think Quantic Dream has talent as a studio. I don't necessarily love David Cage's direction with his games and with his stories and all that stuff, but I think Quantic Dream as a studio has stuff that they can do well. And if they're able to hone that in and use that for Star Wars, I think that can be promising.
Love it.
I want to bring in a question from BJ Bernardo, independent, who writes in and says, "Hey, y'all, what do you think Quantic Dream will create with the Star Wars license? What other studio should take a crack at Star Wars? How selective will Disney be handing out the Star Wars license? Will we all of a sudden get a bunch of Star Wars game announcements? Thanks, BJ." Tim, those are a lot of questions. Which do you want to start with?
I mean, let's go one by one. What do you think Quantic Dreams will create with the Star Wars license? I think we just talked about it a little bit, but I do imagine it'll be a butterfly effect style narrative story. I imagine it will be Jedi focused, and it will be light side, dark side, fairly traditional Star Wars storytelling. But I do think that there will be some compelling characters that we've never heard of. I don't expect it necessarily to be relating to any characters we know. We are due for a High Republic game. I am very surprised we're getting a Knights of the Old Republic remake and not a High Republic game, Knights of the High Republic to some extent, whatever that could look like. So having said that, wouldn't be surprised if it takes place there, and kind of that would allow it to be its own thing, because no one's familiar with these characters. And when I say no one, I mean very few people, relatively, right? There are people that read the novels and the comics and all of that, but they are much fewer in numbers than the millions upon millions that consume the movies and TV shows to an extent.
Yeah, I would love a Star Wars Force Unleashed style. I'm playing as a Jedi and I'm choosing light side or dark side through my choices. And the butterfly effects kind of ripples into, oh, you're moving more towards light side or you're moving more towards dark side. But take that, of course, apply it to something narrative. I don't think that it is a given that this game is going to be choose your own adventure. Of course, that's what we jump to when it comes to Quantic Dream. But there's always a chance that, like, maybe they're like, fuck it, let's make an action game. Or maybe they're like, you know, fuck it, let's make a card-based game or something along those lines. Given that it's Quantic Dream and us, like, flowing with the, okay, choose your own adventure thing, I would love to be able to have a Jedi choose, like, dark side, light side, and make very impactful choices that's going to get a planet destroyed or some shit. I think that could be fun. For the second question, what other studio should take a crack at Star Wars?
I mean, this is a weird one where we're just at this point of saturation with these IP, where it's like we've kind of seen a ton of people do Star Wars games, right? Like, we understand what Star Wars can look like in a variety of genres. I mean, it's almost as if there's been so many Star Wars games that somebody should make an episode of a show called The Blessing Show about Star Wars games and what they mean to people. That, yeah. And if they were to do it, where would they post that video?
Probably on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I'm sure if you go there, you scroll down, there's probably a Blessing Show playlist.
Probably.
That could have that episode if that episode is out there.
Well, that episode made a lot of good points. And some of those points are that Star Wars is this unique thing that means a lot to a lot of people, but Star Wars video games are a unique thing that mean a lot to a lot of people. And there's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad, there's a lot of fantastic, and there's a lot of dog shit. So they kind of have been all over the place with this. But because of that, I think that we've kind of seen almost every genre tackled in some way, shape, or form, and be successful and have kind of some wins. So I don't really necessarily at this point have a studio that I'm like, oh man, I'd love to see a Naughty Dog Star Wars game. Of course I would. But at the same time, we've kind of gotten elements of that, right? Like, Jedi Fallen Order was close enough for me. It had enough Uncharted-like elements in it and narrative-type things that I'm like, I get what that looks like. So yeah,
we have that.
Yeah, we have that. We have so many different things. So I'm kind of happy with it.
I don't know what studio would make it, but I do want another Star Wars racer. I love Star Wars racers so much. And, like, maybe it's Codemasters, maybe in, like, some alternate universe, or like in a universe where Playground Games can make another team to work on a Star Wars game, because I do want them to continue to churn out the Forza Horizons, and they're working on Fable, of course. But if they could have, like, another team to work on a Star Wars racer, God, I'd be all about it. I'd love that so much.
I mean, dude, that would be awesome. I mean, again, this is kind of the thing that we were talking about earlier about, like, Star Wars games can mean so many things to different people. Like, regardless of your takes on the original trilogy, prequel trilogy, sequel trilogy, any other element to it, there are people that are nostalgic for all of them, and there are things and elements that that quality of the rest of it around it notwithstanding, like pod racing means something to me. And it means something to you, Bless. Oh, yeah. And a lot of that has to do with the age we are and the video games that came with it and the experiences around that. So I feel like pod racing is one of the least utilized elements of Star Wars that should be getting even more. But at the end of the day, how can I say that when it literally got an arcade game where you got to be an Anakin's pod racer and a home release that has now been re-released on modern consoles? Like, good for them.
Like, multiple console games between the one that came out on SC4 and the one that came out on PS2. And then, a re-release where I played it again on PS4 and damn near platinumed it, except I couldn't get the one trophy. Couldn't get the one trophy.
Always the one.
Because I used a cheat code and that erased my progress. One that is not going to happen, but I'm going to throw out there. Give me a Housemarque third-person shooter Star Wars game. I think that a Star Wars roguelite that is just a reskin Returnal is what I'm asking for. I think that would be fucking bonkers.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
And then the last one here, right? How selective will Disney be in handing out Star Wars licenses? Will we all of a sudden get a bunch of Star Wars game announcements?
I mean, we're there already, right? Like, I feel like that's actually happening in the last year. Right, we got the massive one, we got the KOTOR, we got the Star Wars Hunters, I think it's called, the Switch game that might have come out already. I don't know, but it that's one of those under the
radar.
That's
a good question.
But yeah, no, I think that this is that we're already in full-on evacuate the dance floor from EA type situation. And then inevitably we got Jedi Fallen Order 2 coming out, whatever that is. Whenever that is, I hope that that's soon. That's what I want more than anything of these games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Star Wars Hunters is coming out 2022. And yeah, I'm with you that we're pretty much at that place. And I welcome it as long as it's being done in a way that is doing the Star Wars games the best service they can do, right? Like we have Marvel games doing a very similar thing, and it seems like Disney is very much mirroring that strategy, and it's worked well for Marvel games, right? Like we've gotten Spider-Man, we've gotten Ultimate Alliance, we've gotten some games that weren't as great in the case of Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, but we're getting enough hits that like I think it's worth the misses. And if Star Wars can emulate that and give us enough hits where we're like, let's go, this is success, we're getting our Jedi Fallen Orders, we're getting maybe better Battlefront games. I know there are people out there that are playing Battlefront 2 and that game has kind of turned it around. And so we're getting games like that. We're getting way better Star Wars releases that I'm all for. If this KOTOR remake is dope, I'm all for it.
Yep.
Tim, let's move on to story number two. Atlus is celebrating Persona's 25th anniversary. I'm pulling from Nibel on Twitter. Atlus has launched the Western Persona 25th anniversary website. On the website reads, quote, "This September, the Persona series will celebrate its 25th anniversary and has also officially reached 15 million units sold worldwide. We want to thank everyone who has supported and helped push the series forward through all these years. To thank you all, we're preparing a year-long campaign from September 2021 to fall 2022 as the Persona 25th anniversary year, and we can't wait for you to see everything we've got planned for the festivities. With 25th anniversary merchandise, events, collaborations, and even game information, we'll have many exciting announcements for Western fans and worldwide throughout the anniversary year. We hope you're looking forward to them." End quote. Tim, I know you're not as much of a Persona person, but I am, and I am very excited for whatever this is. I don't expect anything like out of this world, right? Like they're not going to announce Persona 6. They're not going to announce anything super crazy. But
they're going to announce they're done. They're like, we did it. Bye, guys.
Persona's done. We roll credits on everything. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Real talk though, Bless. Like, aren't they going to announce Persona 6?
Like, no way.
But I mean, when they announced Persona 5, when did it come out? When did its re-release come out? Like, we are now years and years and years away from the announcement of the last game. So it's like, they got to announce it at some point, right? Do you think that it's not going to happen? Like, it's going to happen. So why not next year?
I think it's just a question of how far away is it. And I think you make the good point of Persona 5 was announced forever ago, right? Like, they're not afraid to announce things super early, right? Persona is in that category of game where it is Kingdom Hearts, it is Final Fantasy. They'll announce it and then wait for years and years and years for it to come out as they develop it. They're fine with doing that. But I do think there's still some more gas left in the tank for Persona 5 in terms of different types of games. Because we've gotten Persona 5 Strikers, we've gotten the dancing game. I do think you can put out a Persona fighting game for Persona 5. I think that's still left. I think there are probably unexpected games that they can make with Persona 5 that would fit in with, hey, let's celebrate the anniversary based on the games that you've already gotten, and like, let's continue to iterate. Because I think that is where Persona gets a lot of that's where Persona gets a lot of its juice. By releasing the mainline title and then releasing a bunch of titles surrounding that mainline title in order to like continuing to monetize it.
I mean, I think they're going to continue to do that, but I'm just talking about an announcement, because like, if you think about it, and let me know when you're wrong if I get this incorrect, but Breath of the Wild was announced, and then like, you know, it was a long time till it actually came out, but then it came out in 2017. Was Persona 5 announced before Breath of the Wild?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Either way, it was around it. It was near it, and it also then came out in 2017. 2018?
2017. Jesus, what a good year for video games.
Yeah, exactly. And so think about that. It's been now years, and I'm just talking about an announcement. Like, I'm not saying it's going to come out next year, but I think I would put money on we get a Persona 6 announcement in this Persona 25th anniversary year celebration.
Yeah, Neon Biologist in chat is saying Persona 5 was announced in 2013. So that was, what, 4 years from announcement to actual release.
Persona 5 was announced 8 years ago.
And honestly, that feels accurate. Like, as wild as it is to say out loud, it feels like Persona 5. I remember seeing the ball and chain to the school chair. Like, that imagery has stuck with me for what feels like it's been at least over half a decade. And so that actually does make sense. But, you know, Persona 6 would be, I think, the most insane announcement out of this thing. I think that is high hopes, but I won't rule it out, right? As like an impossibility. I think that is a good point that, like, again, they can announce it and we won't get it for 4 years, and that would make sense for Persona. But
it's because everyone's going to be playing Persona 5 on Switch, so it's okay.
And I mean, hey, maybe, right? Like, I know there's a lot of doubters out there, but I like to believe that one day we could get Persona 5 on Switch or on other platforms.
We will.
But at the very least, we'll get, I think, more spin-off Persona games, and I think that's an exciting thing. And then also, like, the merchandise, collaborations, all that shit. Always very exciting for me. And so I'm looking forward to that. But for now, let me remind you that you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about...
This episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Away. Whether you're running to the grocery store, planning a weekend away, or taking an extended stay with friends or family, we're all still in the bizarre current reality of travel. Luckily, Away makes trips all kinds of easy peasy with their actual life-changing range of suitcases, bags, and accessories. I love Away. You know, us are Kind of Funny. We travel a whole bunch, or at least we used to, and I never would travel without my Away luggage. I love it. It is so smooth to just roll that thing. It's beautiful, very nice to look at. You know me, I care about aesthetics, and so does Away. An Away bag is one of those things that once you get your hands on it, it makes you wonder how the heck you lived without it. It is easily the best luggage I've ever had. Away offers a 100-day trial and free shipping. Shipping and returns on everything, so you can't lose. You can start your 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases, at awaytravel.com/KFGD. That's awaytravel.com/KFGD. awaytravel.com/KFGD. Next up, shout out to Amazon Music. Amazon Music has over 10 million free podcast episodes to listen to, including this one. But Amazon Music isn't just for listening to podcasts. That'd be ridiculous considering it's Amazon Music. They've also got thousands of music stations and top playlists to stream for free. And no matter what you're listening to, you can even go hands-free with Alexa. You just download the app and enjoy listening free wherever, anywhere on your favorite devices. There's no credit card or subscription required. I've been listening to Bo Burnham's Inside for the, I don't know, millionth time this year. And Amazon Music makes that fun, makes that easy. And man, what an experience that is. I recommend it to everybody. If you've never tried Amazon Music, what are you waiting for? You're going to love it as much as we all do. Start listening for free today. Head over to amazon.com/KFGD. That's amazon.com/KFGD to stream thousands of music stations and over 10 million podcast episodes for free, including this show. It's amazon.com/KFGD. And finally, shout out to DraftKings. It's been one heck of a kickoff for the NFL season, Andy keeps telling me, and it's only getting better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Get in on the action now. All you have to do is pick up your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, and the best part is you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. You can download the DraftKings app now and use code KFGD. Download the DraftKings app now and use code KFGD. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter the code KFGD to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code KFGD only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. There's a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. But remember, code KFGD at DraftKings.
And so I threw the McMuffin out the window. Story number three. This is another Kev check-in for Fortnite. Fashion brand Balenciaga joins Fortnite. Kevin, I have images.
What?
If you can pull up the images from their website. I'm reading directly from the Epic Games website. The runway isn't about showing off. It's about being you. On September 20th, 2021, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, digital fashion comes to life in Fortnite. See Ramirez, Dago, and others express themselves in a whole new way with help from the Balenciaga Fit Set. Show the world your unexpected side with the set's apparel, free sprays, the Strange Times featured hub, and a live photography campaign. Inspired by authentic archival looks from luxury fashion house Balenciaga, here are all the items arriving in the item shop. You're getting a Balenciaga Fit Fits. You're getting Balenciaga Fit Back Blings, Balenciaga Fit Pickaxe, Glider, Wrap, and Emote, and then free sprays in style. Something else you'll notice in the Strange Times hub is billboards all around. This is your time to shine. From now until September 23rd at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, join our live lookbook campaign by expressing your style in creative Fortnite images that mash up your uniqueness with unexpected elements. We'll be featuring images that highlight your individuality in the Strange Times hub, starting when it goes live and refreshing them multiple times throughout the hub's run. It doesn't matter the gear you have equipped, just be you. Make Fortnite your fashion destination this fall. Now, before I get to Kevin, because I know Kevin is the Fortnite correspondent here, Tim, I want you to speak, because I know you're not the big Fortnite guy, but I'm sure you are very aware of Balenciaga.
I am. I mean, my girl Dory is the biggest fan of Balenciaga that I know, and she is a fashion icon. If I could dress like one person for the rest of my life, it would be Dorit Kemsley. But this is very surprising, but at the same time, not surprising at all. Epic are just like, you know what? Fuck it. Fortnite can be and will be everything to everyone. So why not try these different things, right? And like, I think that it's kind of cool that a lot of video games, not just Fortnite, but like even just like 100 Thieves has been doing a lot of collaborations with Gucci and shit. Like, I like that video games are leveling up with this kind of like indulgent world to an extent. Not that everything should be that way, but I like that what video games can be and what the culture around video games is evolving to be many more things.
Kevin had a lot of internet tech issues, and so me and Tim are going to pick up from story number four. If for some reason we only got half of story number three, our apologies, but we are back. I got to pause the stream because now I'm hearing myself. But we're back. Of course, Barrett came to the rescue. Thank you, Barrett. You're the homie. You're the best.
Yeah.
Greg Miller, if you're watching this, give Barrett Cornier a raise. Story number four, Neil Druckmann will direct some of The Last of Us TV series. This is from Chris Scullion at Video Games Chronicle. Neil Druckmann will be one of the directors on the first season of The Last of Us TV series. An updated production list on the Directors Guild of Canada website lists the Naughty Dog co-president as one of five directors for the first season. The pilot episode was directed by Cantemir Balagov, who posted a photo of an empty slate on Instagram last month when filming wrapped, along with the message, quote, "My job here is done," end quote. The Last of Us adaptation is the first television series from PlayStation Productions, a studio formed by Sony Interactive Entertainment to adapt its original game properties for film and TV. Druckmann, the writer and director behind The Last of Us games and Uncharted 4, was promoted to co-president of developer Naughty Dog in December 2020. Tim, how do you feel about this? Cool?
So stoked. So unbelievably stoked. I have very high hopes for this series. I think that every single news story we've heard coming out of it so far has been good news. It being an HBO project, having the budget that it does have, them pushing this being an IP that is already established. We understand what Last of Us is capable of in terms of storytelling, and it is legit good storytelling and great character development and characters that we know and love. The actors cast seem incredible, and Druckmann's involvement is key to all of this, and giving him the chance to get in the director's chair, I think, is fantastic. He's proven he's a great director, and I think that will translate one-to-one from the video games that we've played from him to an HBO Last of Us show. Like, fuck yeah, I can't wait for this. I think that this has the potential to blow up and become something absolutely huge and mainstream, and that's crazy because we're talking about a story that at the end of the day came out at kind of the peak of exhaustion of zombie storytelling and all that stuff, but somehow did enough right that it's like gets the pass for like being like, but I mean, hey, Last of Us is dope as shit. And now we've kind of hit this full circle that this game is going to be coming out, or sorry, this movie, this show is going to be coming out at either the same year or the year after or the year around the end of The Walking Dead show. At least the core show. Like, that's interesting to think about. And I think that undeniably it's going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah. You talk about the show or the game coming out at a time where zombie fiction felt like we're hitting that oversaturation point. But I think that's the thing that's special about The Last of Us is the fact that when I think about The Last of Us, I don't really think about it as a zombie series. I don't think about it as a zombie franchise. Like, I guess I do think about the post-apocalypticness of it, but it stands so well on its own as a good story with amazing characters that it kind of separates itself in a way that makes it awesome. In the way that, like, I'm very excited to see this TV show, and I've had a whole arc of starting off as I don't know if we need a Last of Us TV show. Like, usually that's my go-to when it comes to video game adaptations. Do we need this? Is the story told well already in the game? You know, in the case of the Metal Gear Solid thing as well, I have the same feelings of, well, the games tell the story so well, and part of the story is so inherent to video games. Do I need this being adapted into a movie or TV show? The fact that Neil Druckmann is on board for the Last of Us adaptation and is working on it as to direct an episode, that gives me so much confidence. I think that is the best news about this thing, because it is the complete opposite of what we got in terms of, I think, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I think it was the Uncharted movie where one of the leads over there at Naughty Dog, I think it might have been Bruce Straley or somebody, who was like, yeah, we didn't like know this is happening, or we didn't want this to happen. There was some quote that was basically like, we have no involvement, like we barely even want this to happen kind of thing. The fact that Neil Druckmann is directing an episode has me like, oh shit, they're all in. They're not only fully in approval, they are actively being involved with this thing in order to make it great. And who better to direct an episode than a person who directed the game, right? Like, that is the best news possible for this thing.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he's also the showrunner of the show, or at least one of the showrunners. Like, they're heavily involved, which I think is fantastic. Like, the way I see it is, you're right, given the past and history of video game movies and TV shows and all that stuff, with the exception of like Donkey Kong Country, which, never forget, classic.
Of course. Masterpiece.
But jokes aside, like, I feel like we're living through this time with the MCU as a great example of, hey, let's take great stories that were told in other mediums, comic books in that case, and tell them in a different way that in some ways has become the definitive version. Like, the MCU is the definitive take on Marvel at this point to more people than not, right? And I think they've done a great job, for the most part, adapting classic storylines and making it work for a different medium, which is the MCU via television and movies. I think that Last of Us is a perfect example of how they can do that, and they had that perfect storm of HBO needing a big hit, HBO being post Game of Thrones, and we're now in a world where the streaming wars are in full effect, and we have Disney Plus doing its thing with Marvel and Star Wars. We have Amazon having its biggest budget in the world, Lord of the Rings series, coming next year. HBO has so much quality. They've been known, they were the only people on that level of TV for decades. Now they're not. Now they're not only alone, they have many, many, many people that are doing really dope shit. They need some hits. They need some big, big mainstream appeal, gargantuan megaton show series. Yeah. Last of Us could definitely be that.
100%. Let's talk about story number 5. Digital Eclipse has begun discussions to remaster Marvel vs. Capcom 2. This is Chris Scolian at VGC. Retro Specialist Digital Eclipse has made its desire to remaster Marvel vs. Capcom 2 clear to both Disney and Capcom. In an interview with GamerHub TV, Digital Eclipse studio head Mike Mika stated that both companies had been approached and it was now up to them to come to an agreement. In recent years, the studio has worked with both Disney and Capcom to release a number of retro compilations, including the Disney Afternoon Collection and the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection. The studio, under the name Backbone Entertainment at the time, had previously developed a digital-only port of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 on Xbox 360 and PS3 in 2009, but these were pulled from each system's digital store in 2013 following the expiry of Capcom's contract with Marvel. Quote, in some ways, because we're the last ones to touch that game, we feel kind of like the kid that's part of a divorce, Mika said. Quote, I don't have any insight between Capcom and Disney. I know them both pretty well, and they're great to work with, end quote. Following a recent investment pitch where the studio raised over $10 million thanks to investors and fans of the studio, investors were asked which properties they would like to see getting the Digital Eclipse treatment. And according to Mika, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was easily one of the most requested titles. Tim, this would be amazing news if this actually like made it to release.
Yes, I want this so bad. I think this is great. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is a classic video game. Legitimately one of the best video games of all time. Definitely one of the best fighting games. It is oozing with charm and character and characters. 56, if I remember correctly. So much awesome shit going on in this video game. It is such a huge part of legacy. It's where so many people learned about so many different Capcom characters and Marvel characters. But more than that, I think it is that it's criminal that the game is not available to play anywhere now because of all this dumbass licensing shit here and there. And, you know, these digital ports that came out at this point two generations ago, which is crazy to think about. It's just sad that that's the state of affairs for MVC2 at this point. But what I love more than anything is that Maximilian Dude single-handedly is making this happen. He came out and like, I was like, hey, I'm Tim Geddes. I'm trying to save the Bandicoot. I essentially just took credit for things that were happening behind the scenes. If this fucking happens, Maximilian Dude gets full-on credit for saving this shit. And good on him. Good on him for being a voice for the fighting game community.
Love that. Hashtag free MVC2. Tim, let's jump into our final news story for the day. This is one that you added. This is actually a collection of news stories. In fact, it's a collection of collections. Let's start off with Castlevania Advance Collection rated for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC in Taiwan. This is Sal Romano at Gamatsu. The Taiwan Digital Game Rating Committee has rated Castlevania Advance Collection for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. The unannounced collection was first rated in Australia on June 18th, then again in Korea on June 25th. While the Australian rating listed the game as multi-platform and the Korean rating for PC, this is the first time console platforms have been specified. The collection will presumably include the three Castlevania games released for Game Boy Advance from 2001 to 2003, Castlevania Circle of the Moon in 2001, Castlevania Harmony of Dissonance in 2002, and Castlevania Aria of Sorrow in 2003. Before we jump into the next one, Tim, Castlevania Game Boy Advance games, how you feel about it?
Oh, I mean, are you kidding me? Some of the best freaking video games of all time. Like, this collection sounds insane. Like, to think back to 2001 to 2003, what an era, man. The GBA, the PS2, Xbox, and GameCube. Like, how the fuck did we get these three games year after year after year? Video games were on one then, man. Like, that shit is crazy.
Remember, like, that when you talk about getting, like, game after game, right? Like, that's a good one to point out with Castlevania on the GBA. But, like, GTA back-to-back, GTA 3, Vice City, San Andreas, Tony Hawk's back-to-back, like all the EA Sports big games, NFL Streets, NBA Streets, back-to-back. God, video game development was on fire. God, you gotta love it. And so, yeah, you really shout out to that.
I love this, and at the end of the day, I think this is great. Obviously, it's easy to make fun of Konami, deservedly so, with how they're treating their video games, but this is a step in a direction that I enjoy and I have to back, because there's quality video games that need to be preserved and need to be enjoyed by a whole new generation of people, because these games will hold up. These are fantastic video games.
Hell yeah. And for the other collection news story, Disney brings its classic games collection back with 16-bit, The Jungle Book, and SNES Aladdin games. This is Daniel Vukovic at Vooks, which is a source that I don't source often. Vooks. Released at the end of 2019, the original Disney classic games, Aladdin and The Lion King, was a comprehensive collection of classic 16-bit Disney games. Except it was missing one thing, the SNES version of Aladdin developed by Capcom. Now Disney has shelled out the shekels and got the rights to the game in this new collection. Oh, and now The Jungle Book is along for the ride as well. The new updated package will go on sale this November. The elephant in the room, though, this is being touted as an entirely new release. We're not sure if those who bought the first incarnation will get access to the SNES version of Aladdin or The Jungle Book. Aladdin includes difficulty adjustments, camera changes, and additional surprises. All games include updates to 1080p graphics. You can rewind gameplay up to 15 seconds and even fast forward through the game as well. The games also include quick save. Tim, is this one that gets you excited as well?
It does, based on the conversations we just had, the last 1.5 news stories about preservation of old video games. Like, this is actually a really big deal. Like, this collection came out in 2019. I own it on multiple consoles now. And it's a funny thing where these Disney 2D platformers of the Genesis, Super Nintendo era are, in my opinion, a little bit more nostalgic than they are quality. But that's definitely true in the terms of, they were different games on the different consoles, bless. I don't know if you played through these, but like the Capcom release Super Nintendo Aladdin, very different game than the Genesis release Aladdin. A lot of similarities, but there's key differences, including Shinji Mikami working on the Aladdin on Super Nintendo with crazy
That's
stuff.
Awesome. Did not know
because
that.
Of licensing and because of just the way that things worked with Capcom, they weren't able to be part of this release. So this is a weird thing where this is a new game. It does suck for people that bought the original game, and like it doesn't seem like there will be a upgrade path for that. But I think that this is just an example of something we're going to see more of in video games, where licenses just get more and more complicated, but there are more and more groups out there trying to simplify it as much as possible and trying to preserve all of it. And that's going to result in multiple releases in some cases, because they don't have the license, but once they get it, they want to be able to put that out. And I think that collecting all these games, all the versions of these games together, is a really cool product at the end of the day.
Yeah. Now, I think, one, this is awesome for video game presentation, or preservation, sorry. And then, you know, you mentioned, one, you asked, I don't know if I've touched the different versions of these games before. One thing I do want to throw out there, I have played the Super Nintendo version of Pinocchio. That's not talked about as much. I have played like one of the Aladdin games, but Pinocchio is actually the one that I have probably the most nostalgia for. And you talk about, you know, these games are often more nostalgia driven than quality in terms of like people's want for them. I would love some kind of re-release or repackaging of the Pinocchio game, not because it's a good game, but I would have a good time revisiting it. I remember I have some great memories of just playing that game with friends and having a dumb time playing that over and over again. And so Disney, make it happen. But
he ain't lying. His nose ain't grown. You can tell he wants it.
Exactly. Exactly. My nose is still the same size.
You tried, Tim.
I did.
Hey, you got there. Tim, a Pinocchio re-release on current consoles is probably just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host. That's us. Each and every weekday.
Do 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 yeah. You remember the Toy Story games on the PS1?
Fuck yeah, I do.
Bring those back too. Speaking of games that again aren't quality whatsoever, but my nostalgia makes me want to play them again. Toy Story for those old consoles, man.
Dude, I rented Toy Story on the Super Nintendo no less than 7 times, and there wasn't a single moment. Not one single time that I got past. Oh my God. Yeah. Barrett, God
Holy
bless
shit.
You. God bless you just having this ready. There wasn't a single time I made it past the RC level, which I think was level 4. Ooh, it's really early in the game and it just drastically changes the gameplay style. And I've never been good at the top down racing shit. Keep going forward, Barrett, in this.
I don't think I ever got past this level. This was the level.
This level 1.
Wait, is this level 1 still? No. Because here's the RC shit.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Okay, yeah. It just looks
so janky. Now, this shit sucked. What platform was this?
This looks to be the Windows version.
Yeah, but I played this on PC. I remember this boss fight too, and this was not fun.
What game am I thinking? Because I'm thinking of a 3D platformer. Maybe it's Toy Story 2.
You're thinking of Toy Story 2, where you play as Buzz and you start off in like the garage and stuff.
Yes. Okay. Dude, why do Toy Story has such an interesting legacy in video games? Because wasn't there a Toy Story 3 video game on PS3 that was a big deal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. Wasn't it kind of like a sandbox game, too, where they, like, you could just like, something like create that. Your own shit?
That was one of those weird examples where it was a game using an engine of another game. Like, another example of what I'm talking about is there was a Nightmare Before Christmas game on PS2 that straight up just uses the Devil May Cry engine. It's a Devil May Cry game, dude, but it's Nightmare Before Christmas.
What was the other game? There's like a...
There's also the Buzz Lightyear Space Commander game, which was dope as hell, let me tell you.
What's the Vampire Hunter that people love?
Blood Rain.
Who's not Blade and not Buffy. There's Angel. Is it Van Halen?
Oh,
Van Helsing. Van Helsing had a PS2 game that was also Devil May Cry. I didn't want to say it. I was like,
you knew it was wrong, but you had to
I knew
go
it
for
was
it.
Wrong, but I knew it was something like Van Halen. But I was like, it's not Van Halen, but I want to say Van Halen. Van Helsing. There's a Van Helsing on PS2 that is basically Devil May Cry. That is also what
Van
you're talking
Halen
about.
Vampire Hunter.
But also on another similar situation, there's a game called Scooby-Doo Night of 100 Frights on the PS2 I believe is basically a reskin of SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom. I can't prove that, but I remember reading that somewhere and being like, that seems spot on. Barrett, if you could search that up for me and confirm that.
I don't think so.
Let me know if you can find that, Barrett.
I'm going to say no on that one.
Research it just to make sure. As you're doing that, out today, we got Seize the Day for PC. We have one new date for you. Good Night is coming to Steam on September 17th. And then, remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. You can write in with your questions, but you can also write in with your squad-ups, just like Infinite Corpse did. Infinite Corpse writes in with a squad-up on Game Pass and says, hey y'all, I know we're all big sticklers for the rules here at Kinda Funny, but I hope it's cool that this isn't exactly a squad up. It's in the same vein though. The Infinite Fall title, Night in the Woods, is set to leave Game Pass at the end of the month. The game takes place in the days surrounding Halloween, making it the perfect pick for this time of year. Word to the true Halloween King. Thank you. It's a game I absolutely fell in love with during the pandemic, and I thought I'd give it a proper shout out before it leaves the platform for anyone that hasn't caught it yet. It's only a single player title, so this is more like just a last call. It's an exploratory side-scrolling adventure with a cute but rugged sort of art style. You play as May, a college dropout returning to her small hometown. There, she reconnects with old friends and grapples with the changes her home has undertaken in her absence. If that wasn't bad or angsty enough, she will soon discover a mystery lurking in the town's shadows, leading her and her friends on a journey to unravel a ball of yarn better left untouched. Did I mention she's a cat? She's a cat. I just love this game and the story it tells so much, plus the timing couldn't be more perfect. Well, maybe like one more month. Anyway, the clock is ticking for those of you balling on a budget that are in any way sold from what I've just said. Thanks a bunch, Infinite Corpse. If you want to play Night in the Woods, again, it's on Game Pass currently, but the time is running out to check that out. Thank you, Infinite Corpse, for the heads up. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in less than what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those listening later on podcast services and watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. A bunch of you guys are writing in about the McGriddle.
I mean, I'm sorry, Blessing. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'd like to apologize, but this is my year wrong. I don't know what's happening with this McGriddle, Egg McMuffin debate, but I will not sit here and have people besmirch the good name of the Egg McMuffin. It is the goat of breakfast sandwiches.
No,
I will not be taking questions. That is all.
Blessing, this is great because this is their nail in the coffin, and it's my point that the McMuffin is for old people who like dry shit. And who's the oldest person at Kinda Funny, Blessing? Nick Scarpino. The final nail in the coffin that the McMuffin is the inferior breakfast food. Thank you.
I mean, you're implying then that old people don't have taste.
Old people also order Filet-O-Fish with black coffee, Tim. They don't. Yep. Okay.
Shout out to the Filet-O-Fish. I will not accept
now,
slander.
I'm not speaking specifically about the Filet-O-Fish. It's specifically the order of the Filet-O-Fish with the black coffee.
You're the only one bringing up the black coffee, Barrett.
What?
We're just talking about the Filet-O-Fish.
Somebody who I trust very much.
I was the one who brought up the Filet-O-Fish first. It was my point.
Joey Noel, I trust you more than I trust anybody else at this company. I just want you to know.
You're not gonna like my answer. What are you?
Oh god! How do I get rid of Joey in this chat?
I am Team Egg McMuffin or Team Sausage McMuffin. Let's be real. Greg Miller's a crazy person for ordering the regular McMuffin. My biggest issue with the McGriddle is that it comes with, like, who wants cheese with their like sweet weird pancake bread things? I think that's weird. I don't want cheese on it. I don't like it.
Barrett, I need you to use your authority in this Discord to kick Joey Noel. Thank
I was saying that was taken away from me from when I would do it to Kevin all the time.
We should get that
back. Love McDonald's, guys.
This has been an episode. This has been a crazy episode of the show, just so everybody knows. There's been so much chaos, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it. We got like conflicting your wrongs. Charles Jacobson writes in and says, McGriddles was included in the dollar menu. But then Madeline says the sausage McGriddle was on the $2 menu when McDonald's created the $1, $2, $3 tiers. And so I need more context on that. Just keep writing in over the course of the day, and I'm sure Greg will love that when he's hosting tomorrow. Let's see. We've covered that. Remember, you can listen to the full Roper report before you write in and tell us what we're missing, guys. Let's see.
Do you guys talk about the collections that are coming out? That got announced, the Castlevania
Yeah, we did talk about the collections that are coming out. Yeah, okay, we did. Okay. Then one more. Nanobot just says Battle for Bikini Bottom came out 1 year after Night of 100 Frights.
Which is literally impossible. Blessing.
Well, no, I said, wait. Oh, Battle for Bikini Bottom came out after. Oh, yeah. So Battle for Bikini Bottom was the clone of Night of 100 Frights.
No, I showed you guys like several minutes of gameplay and they shut up, Blessing.
I was not looking at the monitors, so you know, I was reading your own. That's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Today's Monday, which means we have a whole week of hosts coming up for you. Tomorrow, you're getting Tim. Oh, you're getting Tim and Gary Widow. Oh, I'm sorry for that, Tim. You're going to have a lot of your wrongs about McGriddles. On Wednesday, you're getting me and Andy. On Thursday, you're getting Tim and Tim. And on Friday, you're getting Greg and me. If you're watching this live on Twitch, after this is Mike and Nick playing Gas Station Simulator. If you want to catch that stream later, subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.